From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made two Fridays ago when New York State moved into Phase 3 of reopening and gave the green light for restaurants to open for indoor dining. There are restrictions, of course, on capacity, mask wearing, cleaning. That's just for starters. And it was the first time since March that residents could go out to eat and sit inside. The state of Massachusetts reopened indoor dining on Monday. Chicago will reopen indoor seating on Friday. New Jersey reopens not only indoor restaurant dining, but casinos as well on July 2nd. And Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey says they can reopen indoor restaurants safely because furthermore, quote, we don't tolerate any knuckleheads, end quote. But some servers have been posting their own stories, saying that customers have been mixed, some appreciative and following the new rules, others complaining and not wanting to adhere to the guidelines. Meanwhile, COVID-19 cases are on the rise in more than 20 states. Our guest this hour will discuss the effort to create a new normal dining experience in restaurants, indoors and outdoors. And I really do want to hear about the experience both in and out. Let's welcome to the program Ian Criticos, who is a server and wine director at Avino. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us, Ian.
Evan, I really appreciate you taking the time to invite me. I'm excited to be here and excited to talk about the restaurant's reopening.
Yeah. Amy Rock, manager at Union Tavern, who also fills the role of server, bartender, probably whatever else is needed. Amy, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Evan. Glad to be here.
So let me just start with by asking both of you to describe what your locations are doing, what the capacity is. And you know, Ian, when you look around the country, a lot of states are doing 25% capacity, but not all. There's different places with different rules. Remind people of what the rules are and how it's going at Avino.
Well, thank you again. The rules have changed a lot and very quickly. Everything's been very fast-paced from when we opened outdoor dining almost 3 weeks ago until the current situation and climate that it is now. We are at 50% capacity for indoors currently. When we opened 3 weeks ago, we were only at outdoor dining. We started with a smaller amount of outdoor tables. I believe it was 10 tables the first day, all 6 feet apart. The rules entail guests being required to wear masks when they approach the restaurant, when they're walking to their table. When they sit down, they can remove their masks. When they get back up, they have to put them on, whether they want to go talk to another table, whether they have to use the restroom, and when they are leaving. In terms of cleaning, we have to sanitize restrooms every 30 minutes. We do it every 15. We have to sanitize tables, chairs, pens, the point of sale system, pretty much everything you can think of that goes into a dining experience needs to be cleaned before, during, and after service. So it's a lot more, legwork, and it's a lot more time, which in restaurants is very valuable, spent to keeping everything safe and clean, which is necessary too. It's just a couple of added steps. For instance, another one is that we aren't allowed to have settings on tables when guests sit. So we set the table as they sit with roll-ups, with small plates, and then with water glasses. So it just kind of extends the responsibilities that everyone's required to participate in.
Sure. If I remember correctly, in the pre-pandemic times, or as a friend of mine likes to say, in the before times, Avino had, 16 tables inside and two outside in the warmer months? Is that right?
16 tables inside, and outside we had 5 tables.
Yeah. Okay, 16 so, and 5. 16 and 5. And how is it shaping up now?
Well, we've expanded, and with indoor seating now being a thing, we've kind of flip-flopped that. Outside we now have 14 tables. We have a tent as well. So, for instance, yesterday we got poured on, and we were still able to have 6 tables underneath the tent, able to eat and enjoy in a dry environment. And inside, we have 8 tables, so we have half of our normal capacity. So we kind of flip-flopped the way the dining room and outside was, so we're able to operate at somewhat full capacity. It's, again, a little bit more ground to cover, you know, to have that full capacity.
And it was 1 month ago yesterday that the owner of Avino was on the WXXI live forum on reopening and kind of surprised us when Janine pulled out some information live on the program saying that there was some struggle that the restaurant was having getting the permitting for the tent and the green light to do the outdoor seating expansion. It was a bit of a call-out moment. She was very direct. Bob Duffy was on the program, and he said, sounds like a reasonable request. We're going to work on this. It does sound to me, Ian, like things got worked out there.
They did. It was, I believe, if my timeline's correct, the weekend after we reopened, so just a little bit more than 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. when we were able to put the tent up. Brighton and Pittsburgh have some very strict regulations on how they want the exteriors of their buildings to look, and they definitely gave Janine a hard time with that. But the fact of the matter is that in this climate, more than ever, margins are thin. We owed a lot of back bills after being closed down for 3 months, and we needed all the help we could possibly get just in order to survive. In terms of, you know, the work that Janine's put into this, and Tim Cassette, our head chef, since they've been there for years, the jobs that, you know, we and my fellow coworkers have, like, there's a lot at stake. So she did whatever she needed to do in order to facilitate the expansion of the restaurant. And I have nothing but good things to say about, you know, the way she's approached this. It's just nothing but hard work, and she's a good model to follow. I will say.
Amy Rock at the Union Tavern. Tell us what the picture looks like there, and compare it to the before times and now the pandemic times.
Well, right now, because of social distancing, I've had to create everyone's job all over again, mm-hmm. and to make sure they all kind of stay in the places they are working in, because it's so social and people like to talk, but we have to maintain this social distance with each other and as much as we can with our guests beyond serving them. So it's taken a lot of redirecting there with them, because I have some people working who've been doing this for 30, 40 years or so. So like, to kind of break these hard habits has been a challenge, but also everyone, they get it. It's just some little reminders constantly, and always having before and after meetings and reminding them of the mandates and the best practices to keep everyone safe. Other than that, we take all the same precautions as Avino has, sanitizing restrooms every 15 minutes, spacing the tables out, measuring. And we also have been able to expand our patio to our parking lot. Our permit came through fairly quickly,
good.
Within 24 hours, so that was fantastic. We kept doing curbside and takeout, so everyone's been pretty busy with all the extra steps.
What kind of outdoor seating, how many tables now compared to what you would have in pre-pandemic times?
Oh, we had we could fit 60 seats inside. The outside patio wasn't really used very much even last summer. Mm-hmm. And we, Kelly actually stepped it up and kept looking at furniture, and we came up with a few ideas, and now we have several tables, I think about 8 sit-down tables that could seat 2 to 4, and then 3 large picnic tables that can hold probably up to 10 people at each picnic table. So our outside has grown substantially.
And so now that you've had 2 weekends with the option for indoor seating, I'll ask both of you. I'll start with you, Amy. Take me to that first weekend that you opened for indoor seating, which would have been 2 Fridays ago. What was the response from the public? Did people come and sit inside?
Well, we kind of held off for a couple of days until we were sure we were ready and doing the best practices, and everyone was trained for the best practices. So we weren't ready immediately. And the next day, which was a Saturday, we allowed some people to sit at the bar. And we were still doing curbside and takeout, which was extremely popular. So had a few people at the bar. I think there was a couple instances where the mask was frustrating to some guests, the rules, because they were going from A to B so quickly. But we got the masks in a box by the door, and we're happy to give them away for free, and we have, and people have been complying because they know this is a state mandate, and it is not us forcing the rules because we want to put a mask on everyone's face. It's being enforced by the liquor authority, which means we could lose our liquor licensing.
Sure.
And yeah, so it's a lot. It's a lot to be wary of.
And so now we're in middle of the second full week since you've been able to have people indoors, outdoors. What's a typical breakdown? The weather's been good. We've had very little rain. What's a typical breakdown? What was it like last weekend, for example, indoor, outdoor?
Oh, last weekend was great. The weather was pretty nice. We saw the forecast early in the week, which predicted rain, and it didn't happen. And we filled our patio out and our little cafe seats on the sidewalk, and it was beautiful. I was happy to see the turnout. We were only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so we are limited in our hours too. But we got going there for a good couple hours of a Friday, Saturday rush, which was really great to see.
Ian at Avino. Take me through the first weekend, a couple weekends ago, when you were allowed to bring people indoors. What did people want to do?
Right. I think it's kind of a balancing act. I think that people want to be back to quote-unquote normal, whatever that means for them. There really isn't a quote-unquote normal now because there's such a fluidity in the workplace and things really do change. But I think people just want to feel normal, like what they did before. So we had a great response to outdoor seating. I think people are still a little bit more comfortable with outdoor seating than indoor, just because of the nature of, you know, how the coronavirus is spread. But that to be said, people still want to come out and eat. And we've had probably 2/3, I'd say, I don't have any numbers behind me to back this up, but just from working there, you know, for the last 3 weeks, or last week when we could, but about 2/3 of people wanting to still eat outside if possible. We've been lucky with the weather, kind of like Amy said and you mentioned, so we've been able to accommodate those people. But I really don't think a lot of people would then turn around and go home if they weren't able to eat outside. We haven't really had that happening. We still do have a number of takeouts, so people still clearly feel more comfortable eating at home than even coming out. So it just kind of depends on the person. But we have had a good response to the outdoor seating. People are just happy to be back. They're happy to see our face. We're happy to see their face, you know, as long as it's covered with a mask and under the right circumstances. But yeah, we've had a really good response.
Talking to Ian Kritikos and Amy Rock from Avino and Union Tavern as we have a conversation about the public response to the opportunity to go out to restaurants again, indoors and outdoors, and what the indoor crowd has expressed, how that has gone, what life has been like for servers. And listeners probably know we've got a lot of love for the restaurant community on this program, and those are great small businesses, and we're certainly rooting for success when it's sensible, and so they're doing their best to be as sensible and follow the rules. But we do want to hear from listeners. Are you going out to eat? Are you going to restaurants? Have you sat inside? How has it gone? 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. And I do want to know what customer behavior has been like, especially indoors. So, Ian, let me start with you here. Generally speaking, your customers who come and they sit inside, how have they felt about the changes, the rules, the expectations of them, the expectation that if they get up from the table, they got to wear a mask? How's that gone?
Well, let me say that the overarching response has been good. People are just happy to be out. They're happy to follow the rules. You know, not all rules are fun, but they are absolutely necessary. And I'd say 9 out of 10 people will happily comply. And there are no issues. It does take reminders here and there. To, you know, you're in the middle of dinner, you're in the middle of a conversation, you may have had a drink or two, and you make it up to use the restroom, and then it kind of falls on servers, back servers, manager, bartender, whoever is in the front of the house, to then kind of be the enforcer and make sure that they are then, you know, putting their mask back on, going and grabbing it. So generally speaking, people have been very, very understanding about it, with a couple of reminders here and there. There have been people, of course, that do choose to put up a little bit more of a fuss about it. Like I said, it's not fun. I don't think anyone really enjoys wearing a mask, but the fact of the matter is that if we're able to operate legally with everyone wearing masks and washing their hands and being socially distant, I don't think it's even a choice. Like, there's absolutely, in my opinion, there's no comparison. There's no choice. You wear a mask, you follow the rules. And unfortunately, like I said, it does take some reminding. And there are people that, you know, don't think it's necessary or think they know better. And I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but I know what allows us to stay open. So I'm going to follow that to the letter of the law.
Sure. And you know, I heard from a listener recently who said, well, how are we supposed to have conversations, or, you know, how are we supposed to really express ourselves if we got to keep putting masks on? Well, first of all, when people are sitting down at a table, Ian, correct me if I'm wrong, if they're sitting at the table and they don't move, even when they're waiting for food, they can have the mask off. Is that right?
That is correct. As long as you're seated and you're at your table, you can have the mask off.
Sure. But the idea that you can't express yourselves. So I'm wearing a mask right now, and I think I sound okay. I popped it on during Ian's last comment just because it's always sitting right here with me, and I threw the mask on.
Sure.
And it turns out it's amazing what happens when you just talk when you're wearing a mask. People can still hear you. All right, mask off now. But that's magic. It's really great. I don't mean to be sort of snarky, but that to me is a very weak response as a reason not to wear it. Ian, the other thing I'm very curious about is whether people's tips have been higher. Because I'm hearing mixed things from service. I'll ask you and then I'll ask Amy the same. But how has the customer response been on gratuity?
Sure. And just really quickly, what you were saying before, I completely agree that you can understand and you can communicate just as well with a mask, you know, on. But even if people can't maybe communicate as well as they did before or think they can, the fact that you can still go out and eat legally should override any type of minor barrier that a mask will have on. And not to mention, you could be saving lives or doing your part to, you know, help not spread the virus. So anyways, in terms of gratuity...
Preach it, Ian Criticos, preach it.
I will say gratuity, it's dependent, just like it always is with everyone under any circumstance. Now, I know that's kind of a terrible answer. The first week, there were some very generous tips with regulars, people that are really happy to be back, happy to be out, knowing that, you know, yes, we were all on unemployment for a while. Most of us were anyway. And we were able to, you know, maintain, you know, our livelihood, I think, for the most part. But the situation for me and the issue for me was the uncertainty of reopening. And if there was a second wave or if there'd be unemployment left, you know, in 6 months from now. So it's really important for us to be able to save money. It's really generous of people to tip well, but it's kind of faded a little bit. You know, you can't expect people to be going out and shelling out an absurd amount of money for a tip every single time they go out. Like, I don't expect that. So it's kind of calmed down a little bit, but people were a little bit more generous the first or second time they saw us.
All right. John writes to say, everyone needs to tip well to support the servers who are limited in number of tables to earn from during this pandemic. And he was asking, Ian, if the business gained under restrictive seating offsets the increased expenses with more staff and safety protocols. I know Janine and many other business owners have told us that, you know, at 25% indoor capacity, it's already a thin margin when you're at 100% capacity in the before times.
Yeah.
And so now
it's
going to be very, very thin. Hopefully it doesn't last forever, but for the moment, you're hanging in there? I'm not asking you to open your books or anything, but for the most part right now, are you hanging in there?
Yes. If restaurants could only operate at 50% capacity with just indoor seating, they would fail. They would all fail. There's no doubt about it. Margins are exceptionally tight in restaurants. And with the new guidelines instituted, for instance, we are required, in order to fulfill the safety guidelines that are mandated by New York State, we have to have an additional hostess or host on, so they can be the ones in charge of doing the cleaning of the bathrooms and kind of being the, you know, indoor regulator, if you will, other than the servers for masks. Because Janine now has, who acts as the hostess for the most part, has set up a station outside the door. So she kind of seats people that are coming up and going outside, and the new hostess takes care of guests inside. She does all the cleaning. She answers the phones. Not only that, but we have to have extra support staff on because I mentioned earlier the restaurant's spread thin, and so for our guests to have the experience that we want them to have, it requires more hands because there's more area to cover. So payroll, which is always a constant battle in restaurants, has absolutely gone up. I will say that bar guests are pretty much non-existent at the moment. So again, the highest margin items that we can offer are not being sold as much. So there's no doubt about it. Like, tipping definitely helps, and it helps us because we're a pooled restaurant. So we're pooling with more people, so we take home less money every single night, but we're all a team. We all have fluidity, it's all fast-paced, and we can all, you know, hop in and do other people's jobs for the most part. So that was the long answer. Short answer is that we are definitely getting a little bit less money take home, and that Janine is paying more money to operate the restaurant the way it was before.
Amy Rock, manager of the Union Tavern. We'll get to tips in a second. How has the customer behavior been?
Generally very well. Just a couple instances similar with the fussiness about the mask, but we've been able to turn it around. Like, we just have the conversation. Look, we have to wear this. We all have to. As soon as you sit, you can take it off. And it literally will take you 10 steps to get where you're going, take it off, breathe in some air. We keep everyone distanced. We took away almost the majority of the bars, most of the bar stools, and we have them all spaced out. And that's another thing to tend to. That person gets up, sanitize it, move it farther away from the other people sitting. You see a group coming in, find a space for them to be 6 feet away from the other group. So, people just have been pretty patient with us as we fumble through this. We're doing the best we can, and we're going through the guidelines, and we're going to maintain masks and social distancing and sanitizing. So there will be some wait times, and I haven't seen any frustration with that. I think some people get frustrated with a limited menu, which again is part of the margins that we're talking about that spills over, and what can we buy? What can we spend to make? And will that be all sold, or will it go to waste? So there's a lot to think about in running this. And, you know, we hate to say no and let anyone down and lessen the experience from what we were once able to do. But as long as we do it as cheerfully and enthusiastically as we can, I think we'll get through this.
Yeah, and are you expecting most customers who come in these days to tip more than usual? And by the way, 20% is not more than usual. I mean, I don't mean to be unfair here, but 20% is standard, should be standard. Are you expecting customers to tip more than 20%?
Am I expecting? No. People definitely were generous in the first couple weeks, and we have a lot of generous regulars on curbside takeout Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, everybody. And we've been pooling the tips and splitting it with all front of house staff, because not everyone is the server or bartender, but everybody is part of that service, and they are part of some contactless service or sanitation. So everybody is doing a lot of stuff right now, and so I decided to pool the tips from there to make sure that everyone's getting the fair amount. And, you know, generally it's pretty good. And I've been trying to figure out when to put more staff on, when to put less staff on. And we just don't know sometimes what to anticipate. So I hang out there a lot.
Let me grab a phone call from Laura in Rochester, who's a local server, willing to share her thoughts so far. Hi, Laura. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Good.
So I've been kind of listening in, and, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the, you know, attentiveness from the people that have been speaking in terms of keeping their restaurants, you know, in order, you know, following guidelines and everything. But one thing that I haven't heard even brought up by anybody is how the wait staff or the bartenders or, you know, the people in the kitchen are being, you know, kind of given concern for their own safety. You know, it's been discussed about like how tips are and, you know, what we're doing and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, at the end of the day, like we're the ones who are, you know, interacting with guests all the time. How do we feel about that? You know, where do we kind of, you know, matter in that situation?
Yeah. No, I take that point. It's a very good point. So how do you feel about having to do that?
You know, so, you know, I work at a particular place. So clearly, like, I'm very close with, you know, the rest of the people that I work with. But I also know a lot of other people in the industry. And I have to say, like, everybody that I've spoken to across the board, not particularly good, not safe, you know. Like, sure, it's fine that, you know, we're getting decent tips and we're tip sharing and everything like that. But again, like our own personal safety has to be paramount. And I feel that that's kind of being neglected from what I've seen across the board.
Now, Laura, I guess I want you to elaborate a little bit on that, because there's one argument that would say that some establishments are doing better than others at protecting staff, protecting customers. And there's another that says there's nothing you can do to really make some people feel safe. I mean, there's a restaurant server named Griffin Candy who wrote a thread online that went viral, in which he wrote, "Everyone who came in last night seemed like all of our customers seemed like they were just cosplaying 4 months ago, like nothing had happened, but nothing goes away just because you get tired of it or tired of thinking about it. I'm changing gloves, washing my hands every single time I grab anyone's plate or cup or anything to make sure that nothing cross contaminates. I'm sanitizing constantly, but I'm a human and there's only so much that I can do." So where do you fall on this? I mean, do you feel like there's any establishment where you would feel comfortable?
Oh, you know, I mean, really, again, like, as somebody was saying, you know, if a person walks into your establishment and they try to come in without wearing a mask, then, of course, like, you have every right to tell that person, "I'm sorry, like, I'm just going to ask you to put on a mask." And they comply, typically. There have been people who have laughed it off. But again, like, for that to fall on, you know, wait staff or bartenders, it's like, the establishment where you're working should sort of have these protocols in place. And they, you know, that should be a management owner thing. You know what I mean? Like, these are the people that are running the businesses, and they should be the ones to sort of be putting these guidelines in place, so people make sure that they understand them and have to, you know, sort of go by them. I'm sure that there are places where, you know, things are a little bit different. Like the young lady was saying that, you know, the bar stools are spaced out. The majority of the places, I have not seen that. And again, there's only so much that you can do as a server. Like, we have to communicate with people. That's what we do. That's our job. So, of course, like, we're at risk anyway. But it would feel, I think everybody would feel a little bit better and more comfortable if we were kind of being treated as if, you know, like, our health was paramount.
Absolutely.
As well as, of course, the health of our guests.
Absolutely. Laura, thank you for sharing. Yeah, I know Ian and Amy want to jump in. I just want to thank you, Laura, for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for doing that. And good luck to you. And as I kick it over to Ian and Amy for a response there, I'll just say the main takeaway I have as a listener to Laura's story is we all have to be compassionate as diners and customers. I'm not thinking nobody should ever go out to eat. I'm thinking, treat your servers with respect here. I mean, they're doing important work. And, you know, if Laura feels uncomfortable, it's because too many people walk in and they don't want to wear a mask. Well, then don't go out to eat if you don't want to wear it. But do what you need to do and respect them. This is too important not to. And I'll let Ian start. Go ahead, Ian.
Well, thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt before, but I'm pretty passionate about what you're saying. I'm glad that you brought it up. You know, we went from sitting on our couches for months to essentially being, you know, in the thick of it, with a lot of us not having options for healthcare, and with a lot of us, you know, having to deal with a lot of guests that don't want to wear a mask, man, because it's not fun, you know. And I think there's something to be said about just treating others with respect in general. Like, we don't want this to be taken away again. That could be the death of a lot of restaurants, and a lot of doors are going to be closed. So, in order for us to be able to stay safe and, like, to stay open, we need to stay safe. And in order for us to do that, you know, it requires people to comply. And we are the ones that, you know, are making sure the tables are 6 feet apart. And I wash my hands 30 times a night, seemingly. And we have sanitizer everywhere. We have sanitizer in our pockets, in the kitchen, on the bar, in the front of the restaurant, near the hostess stand, absolutely everywhere. So I can't emphasize enough the fact that we need to keep these safety precautions in place so that we don't have another shutdown. Because if we have another shutdown, the places you like to go to just may not be open again. And that'll change the whole system greatly. So, yeah, that was a really good point. I figured we'd eventually get to that, but she really kind of hit the nail on the head. So that's all I got on that.
Yeah, okay. That's great. Laura, thank you so much for that call. What do you think, Amy Rock?
Well, each day we do a pre-health screening before they come in for their shift, so we make sure that everyone is in good health before they come in. Like I said earlier, everyone's got their designated job, and so servers don't go into the kitchen. Someone brings that food out, and then they can deliver to the tables. So that limits contact from front to back of house. I guess I'm pretty much a sanitation officer, so if I'm vigilantly watching people, if they're wearing gloves and I see them do something like, you got to change your gloves, go wash your hands. I'm kind of like the officer / director of things, because I'm paying attention to these guidelines and best practices, and I'm trying to make sure they're maintained. And sometimes it's just, you're back in the job and you're in the zone, but these new rules can slip up. So, and then we have these before shift and after shift meetings where we discuss, you know, what could make it easier for you? What can we do to alleviate some of the pressure and make sure that they understand? Kelly, she definitely helps us by printing out a lot of these guidelines. We have signage all over the restaurant, inside, outside, on the tables, the bathroom. Our hostess stands with a bag of masks just in case people don't have them on them. And you know, I've left the house and flipped up and like, oh, I don't have my mask, so I will go get one. You know, like, it's just, we're all kind of point people enforcing these safety practices. But hopefully good managers are vigilantly watching and taking notice and taking corrective actions and following the guidelines. I have seen nothing but good things from places I've been to. I've been to bunch of places on Park Ave, like Rome or Furoshiki. They've been fantastic and very safe with their practices, as far as I've noticed. Other than that, we just try to hold and promise people that we will be as sanitary and safe as we possibly can, and that includes keeping front of house away from back of house. No one goes behind the bar except the bartender. You know, everyone stays in their designated places.
Well,
the distancing.
As we go to our only break of the hour, we've got a lot more listener feedback coming in here as we talk about dining out and sort of dining in, going out to eat in restaurants, and whether you're willing to sit down and eat indoors. Certainly outdoor seating is a big option, and many, many places, including the two establishments represented on the program today, have expanded their seating, and a lot of customers appreciate that. All of that is to the good. There's a lot of creativity. We're starting to see governments move more quickly to say yes when businesses need a little help to maybe get some permitting changed or to get some space requirements changed. And that is great. I mean, we're in the thick of June here. But if we're going to be existing into the future here, it is clear based on Laura's phone call, based on the guests on this program, most customers are respecting the rules. But it doesn't take many to make people, to make servers feel uncomfortable or to jeopardize health of other people, to say nothing of other customers who are there. So that's a problem. And then an email from a listener named Jerry indicates that there are some establishments that aren't sending good signals. She writes, "It is very disappointing, maddening even, to see restaurants and bars that are not enforcing the rules. And this has been commonplace in my experience. To say or post rules is meaningless without enforcing them. And violations are the sad norm. So in the meantime, myself and many of the friends I know are not going to go out to eat." Now, again, that's from Jerry, and that's one person's experience. But if you go out once or twice and you're either seeing customers or staff not enforcing rules, you may be not going to be compelled to go out again. This is on everybody to do this well so we can keep doing this, so we can support small business, we can stay healthy, and we can exist as long as we need to, whatever length of time the pandemic goes. This is too important, as Ian Critico said earlier, to backslide. to have a spike in infections, to see more businesses close. No way. This region has to decide we're not doing it. And I probably sound like a moralizer or a condescender. I don't mean to. But this is not a huge ask if you go out to make a few changes here, to respect the staff and your fellow diners so we can keep people in business and we can live the lives we want to live. And that's what we're talking about, going out to eat. Ian Criticos, the server and wine director at Avino, is with us, and Amy Rock, manager of Union Tavern, is with us. And we're going to get back to your feedback for them, and we're going to talk about some other changes that may be in the offing coming up after our only break. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, grappling with one of the hardest changes for performance and arts. Singing during COVID-19 has been a big problem. Super spreader events have happened where choirs have been performing or practicing. So what does that mean for the future of singing during a pandemic? Is there a way to do this? We'll talk about it Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Restaurants are open. And in phase two, in the middle of phase two, New York State gave the go-ahead for outdoor seating. And then phase three, which came two Fridays ago, brought the return of indoor seating at 50% capacity, along with some other restrictions. And our guests work in a couple of local establishments. We're hearing from a lot of customers who have decided to go out to eat and make certain changes to their own habits. We're hearing from servers in restaurants, and we're talking about all of the changes that are in play here as we try to make this happen. Now, I want to ask Ian Criticos about something that just heard from certified Connections addict and a good friend of the program, Chris Grocki, who is the owner of the German House. And he says that he and Ian started a petition to get New York's takeout cocktail law extended. So this is new to me, Ian. Tell me, what's not new to me was that there was takeout cocktails early in the pandemic, and I saw a lot of people taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what has evolved with the changing of the phases. Give us an update on what's, sort of the evolution of what's been happening with cocktail law and what you want to see happen.
Sure. And if you don't mind, I actually just really want to jump back really quickly to what you ended on before the break.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, why don't you hit that, and then we'll hit cocktail law. Yep.
Yeah, just a quick 30 seconds because, this is really important to us. It is frustrating to see other restaurants not following the same guidelines that we are working really hard to enforce, because that puts all of us at risk, of them shutting down, like I mentioned before. So I just want to ask people, even though it may not be fun, it may not be what you intended with the start of your night, but if you go somewhere and you see someplace not following the rules, just don't go, because that's really just going to eventually, hopefully, extend the life shelf of the restaurants in terms of how long we can stay open for. So that's what I would ask personally. I have not been out to eat. I feel like it's my social and moral responsibility, and I don't want to get up on my high horse here, but I'm around, 50 to 100 to 125 people a day. Like, I don't think I should be going out and visiting other restaurants. I'm going out to do my job and to come home. And I, like, even for Father's Day this past, Sunday, I went over, saw my dad from about 10 feet away for a little while. We talked in lawn chairs, but that was it, because everything isn't back to normal. So I would just ask people, if they go to a place and they don't see someone following the rules, go somewhere else. Don't go there. It may not be fun, but it'll benefit everyone in the long term. So that's all I got on that.
Well said. All right. What's going on with the cocktail law?
Okay, cocktails. So Chris and I started working on a petition a little more than a month ago, when Janine was going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Duffy, because we thought that one of the factors that would help enable restaurants to stay open and to fight the laws that restricted guest dining inside, the amount of guests, was that if we could extend the state liquor authority law that allows restaurants to sell on-premise liquor off-premise. So, like, batch cocktails, margaritas, anything from, like, a sangria to a Negroni to a Boulevardier to, a daiquiri, those can then be sold in a sealed container for the same amount that you would enjoy them in the restaurant. And wine and alcohol are restaurants' highest margin items. People notice that, wine can be hundreds of dollars, it can be $50, cocktails can range anywhere from, 8 to 20, depending on the type of spirit that's used. So the ability to couple the sale of on-premise liquor off-premise as a to-go item, coupled with the diminished seating in a restaurant, will hopefully give more restaurants more of an opportunity to stay afloat, because it gives them more ways to sell the items that make them the most money. And currently speaking, you are still allowed to, the SLA, the State Liquor Authority in New York State, extended the allowance for that. And I think there's actually a law in State Senate that would possibly allow for up to 2 years, if I remember correctly. But I haven't looked in the last week and a half, if I'm being 100% honest, just because I've been so busy with a lot of other things as to how that's progressing. But it is my hope that some of the laws that were, you know, a little bit maybe outdated or archaic before are loosened a little bit, so we do have a little bit more of a future.
Okay, and what do you expect government to do with this one here, Ian?
What do I expect them to do?
Yeah.
Well, I expect them, I hope, anyways, I'll start with hope. I hope they do allow it, but and I also kind of expect that. I mean, restaurants are an integral part of employment. You know, they're an integral part of the microeconomics of certain, you know, small towns in certain areas within New York, within the United States, within, you know, the world. So I don't see why they wouldn't allow it. It really only helps them in the long run, because the more jobs that they can keep afloat, the less they'll have to pay off on unemployment. And I'll say just from personal experience, you know, coming back to a wine cellar that has 3/4 capacity is a good thing, because it means more money was brought into the restaurant, not a bad thing. So, you know, these times are changing, and we're looking at different models for, you know, feasible restaurant success moving forward. And some things might be changed from the way they were, but I absolutely expect them to allow us to continue the sale of on-premise liquor to off-premise guests.
What do you think, Amy Rock? How about takeout cocktails, make it permanent?
Oh, they've been kind of fun for us, honestly, the different pouches, and we use our blender quite often, and we've made popsicles even, and we have these boozy popsicles that we work really hard on, and it's kind of cool to come up with some new ideas that people can take with them to parties or keep in their freezer at home. And we have multiple sizes. We can go from a classic cocktail up to like a decent size pina colada, if that's what you're craving this summer. So I'm really hoping that it does get expanded for quite a while, at least until we can have more capacity for dine-in seating, because we have this product, we need to sell it. And we would like to keep supporting other local businesses, wineries, breweries, by selling their products to go. If we could possibly sell them in some kind of way, then that helps everybody. So I'm really excited to see if this law will change.
Well, Eater reported yesterday that the regulation allowing restaurants to sell wine bottles and takeout cocktails is now set to expire this coming weekend. Now,
no.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I guess there's a lot of questions there. I mean, is this the kind of thing where the industry is sort of largely unaware of any changes and kind of continues, and maybe the enforcement won't be as stringent? I don't know. I'm not suggesting anybody break laws, but I don't know how well known the rule on takeout cocktails is, or how quickly government may actually act on this. So,
No,
go ahead, Amy.
I think there have been some instances in, at least in New York City, where people were just openly drinking, and there's still open container laws. And that may well have been happening here as well. But those are the kind of things, if people aren't still following other laws, that's going to kind of set us back in this fight for us to continue to keep these take-to-go cocktails and beer and wine for sale going. It comes down to, like, if we can educate the public on, you know, what their responsibility is by taking these drinks to go, where do they go with them and consume them, how, like, you can't just go to the sidewalk in the street in the parking lot, that's totally illegal, you know. So just maybe keep pushing and keep educating the public.
Yeah. So let me read the
Can I follow that up real quick, Adam?
Yeah, go ahead, Ian. Yep.
Just real quick, Amy, really well said, too, previously about, you know, kind of supporting, you know, local industry, because there is kind of a, you know, a chain effect. You know, if we can't sell certain things, other local, you know, businesses are, or producers are hurt. So that's a really good point to bring up as well. And Evan, if I remember correctly, when the extension happened in late May, it came down to the last minute. It wasn't like they, you know, they procreed like a week or two ahead of time. I think there was only like a day or two out from the original extension to then the additional extension. So like government sometimes can be, it might just be a little bit slow moving. You know, there's a lot on their plates and there's a lot going on. But, you know, obviously it's my hope moving forward that even if it is last minute, it's extended.
All right, we'll be following that story. Patrick writes to say, went out to Monte Alban and Webster, had three outdoor tables and only one was in use. This was after seeing many very busy Park Avenue restaurants. Felt more comfortable there. Also, Bitter Honey had good distance between tables and bar spots. Staff was really good at reminding people to wear masks when they were not at their table. Good experiences there. Carrie says, went to a beer garden. It was too hot to sit outside for me. There was good social distancing inside. All servers and staffs wearing masks. Tables few and literally far between. Outdoors was the same. Good experience. Claire says, I've been listening to the show. Great conversation as always, but I'm wondering about the back of the house. What precautions are the chefs, cooks, salad preppers using when preparing our food? Are they wearing masks? Are they washing their hands often? Are they changing their wiping cloths frequently? Please address this, as I'm pretty sure it's one of the main reasons people would feel unsafe going out to eat. Amy, you want to start? We'll hit both of you. Back of the house. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, we have limited back-of-house staff, but what I do know is our two main chefs are ServSafe certified, and they have gone through meetings with us about the COVID and sanitation laws. They wear face shields. They don't come to the front. We bring them the drinks. If they need to use the restroom, of course. So I am pretty positive on our end that we're taking all the precautions necessary. But once again, back of house is already pretty highly trained in sanitation law already. So, I can only speak for us when I say that we take that very seriously.
Okay, Ian?
Kind of following what she said, we're on a skeleton crew in the back of the house. We're one chef down. Everyone in the restaurant is ServSafe certified. All the chefs wear masks and face shields. The amount of gloves they go through, while not good for the environment long-term, is helpful because after every single dish that they prepare, they're switching their gloves. They have double the amount of hand towels that they normally have. They have hand sanitizer in the back, and each one of them every 15 minutes goes off the line to wash their hands and come back. So they kind of go, they rotate in waves in that, and they don't come to the front of the house, period. they stay back in the kitchen. I feel like that's the most we can do for the moment while still kind of preparing food in the way that, you know, we'd like to and the way that guests expect.
Yeah. Claire, that's a great question by email. And I think the answers you just got there, Claire, indicate to me that as a customer, if you've got questions, before you make a booking, call and ask. And if they can give you good information, then maybe that'll put you more at ease. If they can't or don't know, maybe that's a different story. But I think this is a time for everyone to be communicating really clearly with each other about the practices there. And these are two establishments today on the program who are obviously very very willing and able to communicate with their customers. And the New York State Restaurant Association tells us that the state liquor authority can only extend 30 days at a time, and they do expect it'll get passed before the weekend, an extension of the takeout cocktail law. So if you want takeout cocktails this weekend, at least the Restaurant Association expects it to be extended until the end of July. We will see on that. About a minute left, Benjamin writes and just observes that a lot of the people that he sees going out to eat, not wearing masks, are waiting to pick up food and bunching. And that makes him very uncomfortable. Real briefly, Amy, if you're not sitting down at tables, you're waiting to pick up food. And I've seen this on Park Avenue. Sorry, Park Avenue, you've been sort of the
bad example.
Yeah, it's been sort of the bad example, but I've seen it a lot.
Agreed.
I've seen it a lot. If you're waiting to pick up food, and you're, especially if you're in a bunch of people, you're supposed to be wearing a mask. Is that right, Amy?
I feel like it's a little more difficult for Park Avenue than as opposed to us. We have a parking lot, and they have to stay in their car until we bring it to them. When they call on the phone or place online, there's a message that says that. We communicate that. There are signs. So in Park Ave, you're parking 3-4 blocks away sometimes to get to your doorway. So I can see that. But the bunching, I think the best we can do for our customers is give them the best estimate of time it will be for them to pick up and be as close as we can to that pickup time and space out when they are picking up their orders.
Okay. 10 seconds, Ian. Agree? Go ahead.
Completely agree. We have lines demarcated on the floor where people can stand while they're waiting for food. We, on the phone, tell them to stay in their car. We'll come to them, keep masks on. There is no bunching allowed.
Ian Criticos at Avino, Amy Rock at Union Tavern, to you and all of your colleagues, much love. It is, at times, I'm sure, stressful, but it's important. Small business is the backbone of the community. Good luck to your restaurants, and thanks for all you do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Great conversation. And listeners, we'll keep having these conversations because we're getting used to this. And I think everyone's doing their best. Well, not everyone's doing their best. I've seen Park Avenue, but most people are. Rob Braden, Megan Mack, Evan Dawson saying thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.